So today I wanted to speak about a fascinating topic, a very relevant topic to all of us, which is the concept of, anybody ever heard of OUDE?
Yes.
Exactly. What does it stand for?
Dairy equipment.
Dairy equipment. Exactly. Which literally means that things, products that are not dairy per se, but they were made or cooked or produced in machines that also produce dairy. Exactly. Great.
So what's the
Alan? So what do you do if something's OUDE? What's the practice? You're not supposed to have it with meat. Or you're allowed to have it after, right? Something like that. Okay. So I want to just explore a little bit why that is, and start from the Gemara, and we'll see. It's actually a differing. There's a difference in opinion between Ashkenazim and Sfardim, actually, about what's an OUDE. So we'll see in a second. Okay. So the Gemara says in Chulin. Itmar, there's a machlokes amaraim. Dogim shalu bekaara. Rav amar asal ochlo mekutach. Ushmul amar mutter lo ochlo mekutach. So the Gemara is talking about a case where you had a fish, that you a hot piece of fish that you put on a plate that previously had meat on it. There's no meat on it now, but it had meat on it betoch and before in the last 24 hours. And the Gemara, the machlokes amaraim, can I eat that piece of fish with kutach? Kutach is some sort of dish, some sort of dip that they had in the times of the Gemara, or some sort of like dairy dish. So you're allowed to eat that with cheese, basically. So Rav says it's aser, and Shmuel says it's mutter. What's the machlokes about? Shmuel says that the reason why it's mutter is because the meat, the taste of the meat, already was two stages removed. It was meat, was previously on this plate, but it's not there now. That's one transfusion of taste. And then only afterwards did it get into the fish. And then you're going to take that fish and have it with cheese. So it's two steps removed. So Shmuel says, since it's two steps removed, you're allowed to have that fish with cheese itself. And Rav says that no, it's us. It doesn't matter whether it's two steps removed or three steps removed, as long as there was some sort of contact of transfusion of taste of meat into the fish, you're not allowed to have that with cheese. So the Gemara later tells us how we paskin. The Gemara says, usually Rav and Shmuel halachas kerav when it comes to hilchos of Yisurim. But the Gemara later says, hilchos of dagim shalom kar mutter lo'ochel mekutach. The Gemara says that it's mutter to eat fish that was put on a hot plate that previously had meat. You're allowed to have that fish with cheese. Okay. So there's a big, fascinating, big, huge machlokas Rishonim. What about if you were to cook fish in a pot that you cooked meat in it no less than 24 hours? Are you allowed to have that with cheese? So that's a big machlokas.
Yeah.
So the case of the Gemara is that you put a hot piece of fish on a plate. It was just the fish was hot, and the transfusion of taste was through the fact that the fish was very hot.
So it wasn't cooked.
Yeah, it wasn't cooked. It was just put on. Since the fish was hot, that's what caused the transfusion. However, let's say I were to cook it, meaning on fire itself with water, or roast it, for example, where the fire itself that's there is causing the taste to leave the pot and go into the food. Is that going to bring out more taste from the pot or no taste from the pot? So there's a big machlokas Rishonim. It's obviously all based on other Gemaras, but it comes out of split. The Bali Atosos and a lot of the Rishonim Ashkenaz hold that it's aser. You're not allowed to have that with cheese. That's not what the Gemara is talking about. And the Rambam and other Rishonim hold that, no, it doesn't matter whether you cooked it or whether you just put a hot piece of fish on top of a plate. I wanted to speak out a little bit of lumdis here, just a little bit. What's the machlokas in the Gemara? This is a big machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. What's the machlokas about? Can you just taste the fish and see if there's meat taste? Right, what are they arguing about? So, what do you guys think? Nir?
Neither one has a problem with eating the actual fish. It's just what you're adding to it, right?
Right.
Right. But can't you just taste the fish and see if there's any taste of meat and then see if you're allowed to have it with cheese? Like just, you know, do one
it's
taste.
Also, if there's a purpose to it, did you want the taste of meat? If you wanted the taste of meat in it, then it's going to probably be problematic and can't have it there.
What do you mean if I wanted to?
As in, you say, even about the lechatchila.
Well, we're going to get to that in a second, whether the lechatchila is allowed to do it. But they're having a fundamental machlokas. Even after I mixed it with cheese, Rav says it's aser, and Shmuel says, no, it's mutter. Because it's too far removed. Rav says it's not too far removed. I just taste the fish and see whether or not it's too far removed and there's no taste of meat, or there's taste of meat and clearly it's not too far removed. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody want to suggest an answer, maybe?
I mean, if we use that logic, then how
half the laws of consciousness would go out the window. You can't taste any of these tamim anyway.
Good. So that's an excellent question. Nowadays, especially nowadays that we have our pots are made out of metal, stainless steel, it's actually a big discussion that there really isn't really so much taste, but that's a good other topic that we can get to. Whether all these sugyas are based on, you know, practical reality, or is it more of a halachic realm? But either way, the Rishonim do speak out over here that it's not a machlokas and metzias over here. The Rashba speaks out in one of his tshuvas, fascinating. He was answering someone that asked him this. He said that the machlokas, actually, everybody agreed that there was some taste. The machlokas was that little bit of taste significant enough to make it meat, to make it halachic, considered meat, that would be also to eat with dairy. That's a fascinating machlokas and lamdas, as how much meat. Now, what's that machlokas about is also a good question, but either way, that's to frame the machlokas here. Okay, so we paskin like Shmua. There's a big machlokas whether even cooking. Okay, so that's a split between Ashkenazi, Rishonim, and Sfardim. And there's another machlokas, Nir pointed out, are you allowed to do this lechatchila?
Do this mean put a piece of fish on a meat plate?
Exactly, you gotta put a piece of fish on a meat plate in order to have it with dairy. Again, there's no meat on the actual plate, right?
So Shmuel said it was mutter?
Right, so good. Very nice, excellent. What's the Lashon HaGemara? So the Gemara says, Olu beka'ara, yeah. It went on the plate already.
Olu is passive.
Exactly, Olu is passive, and it went on the plate. So the Beis Yosef quotes from a number of Rishonim, from Lashon HaGemara, it's mashma, that you're not allowed to put parved things on a hot plate in order to have them with dairy, to have that intention. It's only if they already went on the plate already, then you're allowed to have them with dairy. Make sense? Now, the Rama brings down... Okay, good. So let's see the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, and then we'll branch out from there a little bit. The Shulchan Aruch brings down exactly like basically what Rab said. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rishonim that hold that cooking is mutter, and kol shekein putting it on a hot plate. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that it seems like in the Shulchan Aruch that only if you cooked it already, or only if the fish already was on the hot plate, then you're allowed to mix it with milk. Now the Rama makes a split. The Rama really wants to paskin like the Rishonim that hold that cooking is asin. That if you cook something in a meat pie, you're not allowed to have a dairy at all. So the Rama says, however, that I'm going to allow you only if you already mixed it with milk. Because there's two stages here. There's the putting it on and cooking it on the intention of having it with milk. You already cooked it, can I now have it with milk? And it's already mixed with milk. So the Rama says, I'm going to make a split. When it comes to cooking it, since most Rishonim Ashkenaz holds, you're not even allowed to have the milk at all. So if I'm only going to allow that if it's already mixed with milk. Make sense? Now, putting it on a hot plate, since that the Gemara says is mutter, so I'm going to allow you to have that, even though it wasn't mixed yet. But you're not allowed to put it on the chatchila. But if it was already put on, then you're allowed to put it on with milk.
So the entire
this is very confusing. I know there's a lot of factors and a lot of different cases. Right.
So it is very confusing. Right. And
it is very confusing. But
one thing for starters, if you have a plate,
good,
came out of the fleshy closet, even though it's been sitting there unused for what, a week, a month, or whatever.
Excellent. So that's so different because there hasn't been used in a long
put
time.
A piece
right?
of fish on, and then you pour a cheese sauce on top of that. There, you just ruined the plate.
Yes, you have to kosher the plate. Very good. Yeah, you would have to kosher the plate.
You just ruined the plate. Forget about if you could eat the fish or not, but you just ruined the plate. So.
Right, so don't do it on the actual plate. Yeah, yeah, that's a very good point, right? You're not supposed to put dairy in a meat pot, right? It's only after you take out the pasta or something like that.
You know, back in the days of the Ramah,
they didn't have so many plates.
If you owned one plate, you were a wealthy person.
Right, it's true. They didn't have so many sets. Actually, the Ramah brings down that you should have two sets of four, of silverware.
Yeah,
so.
Which is,
yeah, wait, what were you going to say?
So it's basically If I knew going into my meal, if I'm doing meal planning,
good.
I'm not supposed to plan any of this.
No one paskins.
I can plan out my meal path.
Exactly. Cook things in a meat pot in order to have them with dairy. You should never do that.
Let's use a real life example. If you want to make pasta with cheese, you should not be using a meat pot. Let's use a real life example.
According to Ashkenazi, for example, if you were to cook pasta it's a big machlokas here whether the. Let's just look at this. Let's say. 2 hours ago, I cooked for my daughter meatballs. Great. And I rinsed it out, totally rinsed off with soap. There's zero remnants of any meat there. Can I now cook? Now, I don't want to have meatballs. I want to have macaroni and cheese. I only have one pot. And I cooked the pasta in that pot. Can I have that pasta with cheese? So now, according to Ashkenazim, even if you even after you already cooked it, you're not allowed to have it with cheese. According to Sfardim, you're not supposed to cook it in the pot in order to have them with cheese. But if you already did, you're allowed to have it with cheese. Make sense?
Man, this is a source of so much focus in it now.
Okay, now there is a big discussion about, let's say the pot has not been yomo. Let's say it's been 24 hours or more since the last time you cooked meat. That's a big machlokas also, because after 24 hours, even if you have to cook dairy in the pot, it would be kosher b'dieveh. The pot you would have to kosher, but the dairy, that's a big machlokas achronim. The gra actually held that once a pot has not been yomo, then even Ashkenazim would hold that you're allowed to cook pasta in there to have with dairy lechatchila. That's a bigger okay. Sorry. Most achronim, I think a lot of achronim hold that it's aser, right?
That was
the grub, right? I think so. Yeah, a lot of achronim hold that it's aser, right?
But you did trade for the pot, the dairy in the pot.
Sorry. No, you're not put dairy in the pot.
Now let's do all that, but saute and onion in between.
No, let's leave dabar, let's leave all spicy onion. That's a whole different topic called dabar charif. Very complicated, not. That's a whole different discussion, but that's a good question also. Now, there is a fascinating, I have to quote this, there is a fascinating tshuva by Rav Ovadia Yosef, who actually wants to prove, fascinatingly with his amazing chachma, that Sfardim hold that you could even cook it lechatchila to have it with dairy. Why? It's fascinating, it's a bit cooler. Now, it's not so relevant, we have so many pots nowadays.
Rav's becoming a Sfardim
coming on
this year.
It's fun. It's not so again, how many times, you know, either way, because usually it's more of a scenario where like I have pasta in my fridge. And it was like, whoa, can I have this with dairy? That's usually a scenario. I have pasta in my fridge. And like, oh, it was cooked in a meat pot. Can I have it with dairy? So then only Sfardim will have to have that with dairy. Ashkenazim after Yimach. Okay, either way. Where Rabbi wants to put, you'll not even cook it lechatchila. What's his raya? Beit Yosef wrote a lot of Sfardim, but one of the things that he wrote was called a bedek habayis, called the checking of the house, which meant after he wrote the Beit Yosef, he wrote like little annotations or whatever in the Beit Yosef. And there he writes, you're allowed to do it lechatchila. But in the Shulchan Aruch, he wrote only b'dieved. If you already cooked it, you'll have it with dairy. So Rav Ovadia tries to prove what was written later. Because whatever was written later is what he actually held. Was the Shulchan Aruch written later or the Bedek HaBayis written later? So he quotes many different fascinating discussions as to what was written later. And he proves that the Bedek HaBayis was written later. And therefore, whatever he wrote in the Bedek HaBayis is what is the halacha for Sfardim. Either way, it's an interesting topic. Okay, now coming back to O-U-D-E. The question is like this. Even if you hold that you're not, that even Ashkenazim. Okay, let's start with Sfardim first. According to Sfardim, what's O-U-D-E?
Nothing.
Or, exactly, nothing. It was things that were cooked in a dairy or produced in dairy machines. So according to Sfardim, especially according to Rabbi Yosef, you're allowed to even do that lechatchila to have it with meat. So according to Ashkenazim, you're allowed to have a Oreo steak. No problem.
According to the Shulchan Aruch, I wouldn't be able to use it as an ingredient in the flesh of cooking.
Exactly. Excellent.
Yeah, I'd probably go.
Exactly. According to... That's fascinating. I don't know, because the Oreo was already cooked.
Fine, but it's still there.
Oreo-crusted steak.
Oreo-crusted steak. Right. Oreo-crusted steak. Exactly.
So according to Rav Yosef, you'd have a problem. But according to Rav Yosef, you'd be allowed to do the chatchila, right?
What's Oreo-crusted?
No, nothing at all.
I thought it was actually ingredient.
Rabbi,
okay, it's like something that's not cooked yet.
They ground the Oreos into a powder and they use that to coat the steak.
Okay, so I guess maybe, right? That would be considered.
I thought I made it up. It's really a thing.
That's hilarious.
Like crazy.
And this is why you want to go to cardiac imaging.
More likely is probably like a deep fried Oreo, which is also something that you would see a lot on cardiac imaging. That people do.
Deep fried enlarges.
That's a southern thing. It don't apply.
Beef tallow, or they fry like other things in it that are meat, and then you're frying the Oreo.
So according to Sfardim, there's no real question. According to Rav Adi, which I think most of Sfardim, it's a bit of a focus in the Sfardi world, but according to Sfardim, for sure, Oreos, you'll have to have them with meat itself. Now, according to Ashkenazim, right, according to Ashkenazim, that hold that if it was cooked in a dairy, let's say a meat or a dairy product, you're not allowed to have it with the opposite thing. So it seems like Oreos, you were not allowed to have it with meat, right? What about the Shaila of, okay, I can't have it with meat. What about waiting? Do I have to wait 6 hours? Right? So here, the Achonim all say on the Davar Pashat. No, they say like this. They say, 1 second, if Bediyaved, the Oreo was mixed in with the meat, it's mutter to eat. Right? If Bediyaved, if you mix it in, it's mutter. So then, of course, it doesn't have the halachic status of dairy to that extent, and therefore you would not have to wait 6 hours to have the dairy after meat. So that is the sugir. So that's why even according to Ashkenazim, we'll have Oreos after meat meal.